Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendos, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're on the road to 182,000. We seem to be stalling at around 181,850.
Yes.
We need to get over that 800 hump. We need 51 more subs to get us into 181,900, and then we'll deal with the rest from there.
Oh, the last 100?
Yeah.
And then we have pizza party.
We'll be on the road to 100 more subs.
Yeah.
And we'll have pizza party. Also, it'd be great if you guys want to support Going In Raw, hop on the iTunes podcast app, leave us a review, maybe even a 5-star rating if you feel that we're a 5-star podcast.
That we are deserving of that level of accolade.
You should have asked that to Dave Meltzer when you saw him at PWG. You should have said, are we 5-star podcast?
Or are we dud?
Are we minus 5 stars? He'd say 3.5 stars and walk away. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Today is chat trivia day, Larson.
We've Correct.
Got 56 people watching right now. This is the live stream version of this podcast. You can check out the live stream version as well at the $5 and up per month Patreon mark, which is our best value mark. You also get early access to the show. You get early access to our Going In Raw View show every Sunday. You get early access to that like 24 hours in advance. So that's really great. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw, where we sell all sorts of great shirts. More to come. I think we might be around the threshold of being able to upload more designs.
I hope so. Breaking news. Today's Going In Raw Daily is now up.
It's now live. So you guys can check that out. Today we're talking about the big, big news over the potential resale of GFW. How much do you think Impact Wrestling, GFW still owns, belongs to Jeff Jarrett. How much do you think Impact Wrestling has depreciated since Anthem bought it? It's only appreciated in my eyes, because you guys can check out the GFW.
But in terms of actual
it
value.
It started to bring us in a little bit of money.
15%.
It depreciated 15%?
Yeah, in the span of 8 months.
That's less depreciation than a car, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyways, you can check that on The Daily Show. We got a lot of good insight. Hey, you know what? Ever since I've been doing GFW reviews, I've been learning more about GFW, so you get really good information in today's Daily Show. Mainly, we're just
Not
talking
really.
About something that PW Insider was talking about.
Yeah, well, they had a pretty extensive article about GFW's current status. Between that and Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. Good information.
Good info out there in the
Anyways,
world,
we're not here to talk about that. We already did a video about that. We're here to talk about SmackDown.
SmackDown Live.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your general thoughts?
It was a fun show.
It's rare you get a bad show.
I mean, the Dolph segment was awkward and clumsy and not terribly well executed.
Okay. Was that
the plan?
Pretty much what we thought it was going to be.
Yes.
We thought he was going to come out.
I thought he was going to do all those things at once.
At once. That was the only difference. I thought it was going to be all at once.
But the awkward delivery.
Oh, man.
The complete indifference from the crowd.
Okay.
That was all expected.
So, like, if this was on Raw, I would have really poo-pooed it. But because it was on SmackDown, which generally packs in a lot of stuff into those 2 hours, I had like a car wreck fascination with it. Like, this is really, really bad. But at least it's given me a lot of crap to talk about it.
And
it's so bad.
I was curious to see where it was going.
I really wasn't. Because here's the thing. I knew that there was not going to be some big payoff.
Well, yeah, I didn't think there would be, but I was kind of hoping there would be. It's like, you're doing all this, and it's not good.
Yeah.
I really wonder whose idea this all is.
I don't know.
And then there's no payoff.
Wouldn't surprise me if it was maybe Dolph's.
Like when the lights came down for the third time.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting, hoping that we'd hear bong Glorious.
No, you know what?
They're going to do that feud, just get it done.
You know what happened when it rang bong? It was a dark match.
Yeah, I know.
Bobby Roode was in a dark match on SmackDown. He's like supposed to be the hot commodity.
That's what Nakamura did for like 2 months.
Yeah, I know, but he was on TV. He was still on TV doing promos and stuff.
Oh, I know. Sometimes. You know? Yeah.
Bobby Roode wasn't even on TV.
I don't get that.
And then they did an interview with him on like YouTube afterwards to talk about his dark match win over, who was it? I forget who it was now. Oh, Canellis, I think, again. Right? And he said, and he was just saying how glorious it is to be able to wrestle in front of the SmackDown Live crowd. It's the other way around. It should be him saying, it's glorious for them to see, to watch me. Yes.
Well, it's interesting. They had a video package for him last night during the show.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff was pulled from NXT.
Yeah. Anyways, the show started with... I kind of like these.
Yeah.
It started with these pre-filmed, I think, promos.
They were very stylized.
Randy Orton was like down, I think, in the bowels. Or no, maybe there's the hallway.
But it looked like underneath the arena because there was all sorts of pipes. And
it was neat. It was really neatly lit. It was really cool. There was like an orange and then blue. And he basically said, you know, I'm going to beat up Shinsuke Nakamura. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what he said. He looks kind of bored. And then the Nakamura one, I can never tell if Orton is intense or bored.
Yeah, no.
I can't really tell the difference.
I know.
Because you think he'd be up for being able to put Nakamura over.
Well, I mean, I thought the match was pretty good. The
match is good. Then Nakamura says essentially the same thing. He's going to start his dynasty. And it's his dream to win the title.
No, it's his destiny to win the
destiny,
title.
Destiny, yeah, the destiny. And something about he's going to... Randy Orton might inflict his offense from anywhere, but he's going to inflict pain everywhere, I think is what he said. Something like that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got James Ellsworth in the ring about to cut a promo. He begins, and he's interrupted...
By Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens comes out and says, you're going to have a guest referee for this match, and it's going to be me, ref. Take your shirt off.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
So
he berates the ref into taking his ref jersey off. Mm-hmm. Out comes Shane McMahon. Shane says, you're not doing this.
Yeah, you're not doing that again.
You're not going to make yourself a referee anymore. They start arguing.
Yeah.
Owens concluded by saying that Shane's family would have been better off if he had died in the helicopter crash.
That was one of the most jaw-dropping lines I've ever seen. There was a couple of moments in this episode where I was like, whoa.
I know.
That was fantastic.
Because he said, your dad would be better,
mm-hmm.
your wife would be better,
yeah.
and your kids would be better
off. Oh, and that set him off.
And then Shane goes after Owens. They fight. And Shane's like pummeling Owens behind the announce table.
Yeah.
And then Adam Pearce and some security came and broke him up. Daniel Bryan came out there.
Yeah.
So pretty intense segment.
It was a lot of fun, and I love that they'll let Kevin Owens do whatever Kevin Owens feels is best. That's just the feeling I get. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I feel like Kevin Owens probably has some amount of creative control. Because he knows what he's doing, or at least creative input is probably the thing.
Well, we've heard, you know, I think CM Punk said it, Dean Ambrose has said it, that, you know, they'll try to write promos for them, mm-hmm. and they just say no.
Yeah.
They just go out and do what they want.
Yeah.
As long as they hit the story beats, it should be fine.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Next up, we had...
Owens is helped backstage by a couple of refs following his beating at the hands of Shane.
Mm-hmm.
He runs into Daniel Bryan. Owens says he's essentially going to run roughshod over WWE. He's going to sue the company, sue the McMahons.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the Kevin Owens show, literally.
Okay. Awesome. We get to talk about this now. Do you think that's going to come to pass?
That he's going to own SmackDown?
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
I think it would be fantastic.
If that's a stipulation for the...
It would be amazing if they turn SmackDown Live over to Kevin Owens.
Oh, I know.
That would be great.
I hope they do it. I feel like it won't happen, but I hope they do
it. That would be so great, man. Why not? Just run with it, man. Just run with it.
At least through WrestleMania.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. Next up, we had Carmella versus Natalya.
That match finally happened.
Yeah, that finally happened.
It was supposed to happen when Ellsworth came out to drop his promo.
Yeah, it was a non-title match. She was not cashing in. But Ellsworth, at one point, accidentally, while he got up on the apron, dropped the briefcase, making the ref think that, oh, wait, is this a cash-in?
I'll say this. Ellsworth... acting clumsy was very believable.
It's very convincing.
Yeah.
He's very convincing.
I thought he actually just dropped the briefcase there. I didn't realize that was the spot. I'm like, oh, wow, that was really well done. It was very fluid.
Yeah. Anyways, that's enough to distract Carmella, who has to explain to the ref, no, I'm not cashing in. Of course not. Don't be stupid. And then, but that distraction is enough for Natalya to then get the roll-up win on Carmella. Carmella cuts a scathing promo on James Ellsworth, calls him less than human, like a stain or something. He's terrible, and they are through. They're absolutely through.
Yeah.
Should stop sticking whatever that is that was supposed to be where your chin is in my business. We're through.
Yep.
So that was that. Let's see here. Next up, we had Shane hanging out backstage.
He was just milling about backstage.
He's milling about. Next
that's
up,
all, that's all it was. So next, let's talk about this Dolph thing some more if you want to.
This is great.
So he comes out to his music, and immediately I look at him and I think, he looks like he's lost weight. Did you notice that?
Not really, but I wasn't really paying that close attention to him.
It
to
could
notice.
Be. It could just be how it was lit, but he looked like he had less mass and wasn't nearly as cut.
He's getting prepped to go to New Japan.
Could be. So he says, all right, you want gimmicks? I'll give you gimmicks. He goes backstage. Cue John Cena's music. He comes out with a towel and a hat.
Yeah.
Does a really bad Cena impression at the top of the ramp. And right as he's about to run to the ring, like Cena does, he grabs apparently a floating microphone because it's always there.
Yeah, he keeps on throwing it back and then getting it back.
It's like he has force powers.
Yeah. Why isn't that his gimmick now?
Oh, I know. That'd be great. And says, okay, that doesn't do it for you.
Yeah.
You all like nostalgia. I'll give you nostalgia. Goes back, comes out, and he comes out to Macho Man's music.
Ooh, yeah.
He's got a robe that looks nothing like Macho Man ever wore.
Yeah. I was like, is that like an early Macho Man robe or something?
I don't think maybe so. Like I think it's just a robe the prop department had.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a valet on his arm.
Yeah.
He does some really bad Macho Man movements.
I mean, here's the thing about this whole Dolph promo thing. Because then he does Natalya.
No, Naomi.
I'm sorry, Naomi. Then he does Naomi. He comes out to the glow thing. He's dancing around, has that goofy wig on. And he's like, you guys are so easy to please. Anybody can do this, but nobody can do what I do in the ring. Did he punctuate it by saying something else is going to happen? Because I didn't. I think I like sort of got distracted. Did he say he's going to do anything else next week?
I don't remember.
But, right.
When he said, you know, no one could do what I do in the ring, I'm like, I can think of at least 10 people.
Yeah, I know. No. Yeah. Oh. I like Dolph. We don't know.
I do too.
We don't know what it is. We don't know if he's ever been able to reach his full potential, though.
Oh, I know. And I mean, go back 4 years ago, I was a huge Dolph mark.
Yeah.
Huge.
I know.
It's just between creative and kind of his
so bad
own efforts at moments. I just feel like.
I'm going to guess because Bobby Roode's off TV this week. He'll be on TV next week, and maybe Dolph will interrupt him. And because, man, I mean, it'd be terrible if they're like debuting the whole Glorious thing so hardcore just so that it's something that Dolph can then rip into.
Or interrupt.
Interrupt. And but sort of be the crux of his problems, too.
Yes.
That'd be backwards. But I imagine that's what's going to happen next week.
Yeah.
Next. I mean, the thing about this, too, is that I know it's supposed to be, but these are all so half-assed. Maybe it'd be actually entertaining if he came out with, like, full Macho Man gear.
I know.
And
like,
then
go
each,
back and change the trunks.
What if he did this every week for, like, the next 3 weeks? The first week, he wrestles a Cena match, showing us that he can mimic John Cena even better
like
than John Cena.
In comedic fashion, a la Damian Sandow.
Right,
wrestling a match like Cena to poke fun at Cena's wrestling ability.
Right, exactly. And then does the same thing the following week with, like, like a Roman Reigns or something. And like may really make the point that I can run circles around the way these people wrestle.
Yes.
And so all they are to me are empty gimmicks.
Yes.
Because the thing that really matters is in the ring instead of doing this. I mean, whose idea was it? Run out there and then like yell and then and berate it and then come back and then yell again.
I know.
Like,
it's so shallow.
Yeah. There could have been something where people, the most effective heels these days seem to be the ones where we always point this out. It's a heel with a good point.
Yeah.
You know, like The Miz.
Yeah.
It's great.
Not whiny Dolph.
Dolph could have a point here if he were to prove it in the ring.
Yes.
Because I think that'd be really interesting because I think he is good enough to maybe do John Cena better than John Cena, at least superficially.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
No.
So anyways, next up, this was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Another crazy thing that happened in this week's episode.
So Aiden English comes out, starts to sing a song.
Uh-huh.
Cue Sami Zayn's music.
He
comes out.
Interrupted by some ska music.
So they have a match, and it was pretty quick, and Aiden English picked up the win again.
Yeah.
He avoids a top rope crossbody from Sami, and then Aiden puts Sami in a cradle, gets the pinfall victory.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was.
And once again, we got to hear his weird theme music
that
I rarely get to hear. So
I know.
I'm
need
still
to see this on
to
YouTube to see if I can really
Figure it out. Yeah.
Get the feel for it.
I feel like we're in the middle of a minor Aiden English push.
No, I don't think it's minor. That's two wins over Sami Zayn. He beat Ty Dillinger.
I think that's the definition of a minor push.
Moderate.
There you go.
Moderate.
Let's see here. Next. I do. Hey, you got to mention, though, I do love that after he won, he started to sing again, and Sami Zayn got annoyed with his singing and chased him away and said, no, leave me alone.
Yeah, I know.
That was pretty funny.
No, it was pretty funny. Next, Daniel Bryan backstage. New Day walk into frame.
Yeah.
As do the Usos. The Usos say that the stipulation
for
their title match next week is a Sin City
Street fight.
Come on.
It should have been an Uso penitentiary
match.
Well,
maybe they're saving that for Hell in a Cell.
That could be.
They're really making next week's SmackDown out to be a nearly pay-per-view quality show between the matches announced and a special appearance by somebody that we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Next, Daniel Bryan. Oh, sorry. At the end of that segment, he gets a phone call. And he's talking to the person on the other end. A lot of yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
In the ring, sir.
Yeah.
So he has to do something in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of piece together.
I mean, they really should have had me.
Daniel Bryan. Daniel, you have to
suspend my son. But do it in the ring.
Indefinitely. Pouring water over myself. So Daniel Bryan walks out to the ring. Asks for
Sans music.
Yeah. Because he didn't want the pop, I guess.
No celebratory Daniel Bryan.
So he walks out. He calls for Shane. Takes a while. Again, Shane. No music. Shane walks out.
Yeah.
And then he says he got off the phone with somebody. Your dad.
Your dad.
And you know, he's told me that you have to be suspended indefinitely. So Daniel Bryan said that, delivered Shane's punishment with great hesitation.
Yep.
There was some turmoil going on there. He wasn't happy about it.
Did you notice Daniel Bryan's lips are really red?
Yeah. They have been for a long time.
Yeah. I just noticed it even more because Finn Balor's lips were like almost as red as that.
I haven't noticed that.
Take a look next week.
Okay.
You'll see. I will.
I'll pay attention.
Anyways, next up we had the modern day Maharaja.
Yeah. He did an interview.
I'm sorry. I'm back around to it. I hope Jinder keeps this damn belt through like WrestleMania 36. He's great. Those freaking Singh brothers kill me, man. They're just freaking showcase guys every time. Like, you see Jinder's giant meaty head, and then their little heads always off to the side, just admiring him. It's great. And he just talks big, and everything's so big and intense with him.
I know.
The modern, I'm gonna speak to my people in my language, Punjabi. And I love Punjabi. I don't know a lick of it.
Yeah.
It's all great.
It's good.
Anyways, he was saying, basically boiling down, you know what? I'm either going to fight Randy again for the 18th time, or I'm going to fight Shinsuke again. Doesn't matter. I'm going to beat them both. It was fantastic.
So it was good.
We're going to get Jinder versus Shinsuke in that cell, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Be good. Keep the Singh brothers
from getting involved. Next, Baron Corbin. Hold on.
Baron Corbin. Hey. Versus you're not me.
Ty Dillinger.
Man, they let Ty get. I thought for a second they were going to have Ty go over here.
I did too.
Because I thought, I was like, oh man, Baron's still suffering from punishment. Ty will take advantage of
that. Well, the story
was
there. Baron gets distracted by AJ. Ty takes advantage.
That's what I thought the story was going to be. I thought it was going to be, he would be so, you know, he would be so arrogant and foolhardy to just keep on staring at AJ Styles that, you know, he'd get hit with the tiebreaker.
It cost him the match, yeah. Didn't work out that way. Corbin went over with End of Days. It was still a fun match. Good match.
No, it was. It was.
Ty really sold a lower back injury really well.
Yeah, no, he did. He sold that really, really well. I wish that they would have at least teased, because they didn't even really tease him trying to get a tiebreaker in. I mean, he rolled down the thing for his knee.
Yeah, that was the tease.
But I don't think he ever really got. Maybe. Did he get him up? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
he got him on the shoulder.
Maybe he got him up. Okay, he got him up. AJ was on commentary for the entire thing, and he was basically yelling at Baron Corbin to, you know, keep his eye on the prize. Next up was, Corbin went over with End of Days. Then we see backstage, Ty Dillinger's back there, and AJ says, hey, look, you're the best. You're the perfect 10. The open challenge is exclusively for you next week.
It is open for one man next week, and that's you. So we have a U.S. title match between AJ and Ty.
In Sin City next
week. Yeah. So that'll be a good match.
That'll be good.
Then we had a Bobby Roode video package where, again, they use a couple snippets from his SmackDown interviews and use a lot of footage of him in NXT,
yeah,
a lot of talk of Bobby Roode being box office. So it really didn't indicate necessarily a face,
yeah,
Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
But since it used a lot of NXT material, it made me think heel Bobby Roode.
I really do hope that they... I think that the Dolph thing is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that they give him maybe one more face, like after Dolph, one more face feud, and then give him a really, really strong heel swerve. But number one, it's been a little while. When's the last time we saw a heel turn? Can't really remember. Like, we'll say we don't know, and it was probably like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think a good old-fashioned heel turn would be fantastic for Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to do that eventually, man. He's too strong of a heel.
Oh, I know.
He's too strong.
Next, James Ellsworth and Carmella backstage. James Ellsworth is pleading with Carmella to take him back.
Yeah.
He's sorry for screwing up.
Yeah.
That he'll do better. And then she says, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it my way. And then kisses him.
Mm-hmm.
And then slaps the hell out of him.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you make of that? Is that creative saying, hey, you know, it'd be weird if she did this, and then we'll figure out the rest later?
Yeah.
I think that might be the case.
Because I thought she was in control to begin with.
Yeah.
Haven't they always been doing it her way?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what the kiss was all about. I don't really like it.
Yeah, I didn't care for it either.
Like, it's too, like, stupid rom-com from the 80s type crap. Like, the loser gets a kiss from the pretty girl that he's, you know, in awe of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, I feel
it
like
seemed
we...
Like, it seemed like it's something they did just to shock people.
Yeah.
And that was it.
A little trite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm willing to see where it goes. I love Carmella and I love James Ellsworth. I like them both a lot.
Yeah.
I just don't know what they're going to do with this.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, and I don't know if they know either. That's the problem.
Probably not. Next, our main event.
Man, did you see the house? Did you see the house that Carmella and
yeah.
Big Cass bought?
Yeah.
Got some. I mean, I didn't see the entire thing, but I saw like the
front.
The front, the facade, if yeah. you will.
It looked pretty
big
pretty
old
nice.
Columns there.
Yeah.
I wonder, you think it's in Florida?
Oh, probably.
Probably in Florida, right? You can probably get a good piece of property in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Much cheaper than you could in New York, New Jersey,
hey,
where they're
anybody
from.
Out there in the path of Irma.
Yeah. Be safe.
Stay safe, man.
Yes,
our
be
thoughts
safe.
Are with
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyways, moving on.
So this match was pretty good.
No, I like this match. They gave it a little bit of time. They gave it a little bit more time than they gave the Cena match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. Randy Orton seemed to be stepping up a bit.
Yeah.
I loved the RKO reversal into the cross arm
breaker.
Oh,
that was great.
That was fantastic because I was like, what
was
that?
It was so fast.
Whenever they can reverse something either from an RKO or into an RKO, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I think
that's
it's
why the RKO is the best finisher. It's the best version of the Ace Crusher.
You can't say that over the Stunner. You can't say that over Stone Cold doing the Stunner. You can't. Randy Orton doing the RKO over Stone Cold doing the Stunner? Mm-mm, no, not H. Are you kidding me? Not a chance. No finish in the history of time got more pop than the Stunner.
No, I can't argue that.
Well, there you go. That's the only argument to be made.
I'm thinking about the versatility of the move in that capacity.
Let me ask you this. And this is a debatable question. Some people might think it's not. What is more kayfabe powerful and what's more protected, which I guess is the same thing, right?
You mean ever?
No, between the Stunner and
yeah,
the RKO.
Yeah,
the Stone Cold doing the Stunner and Randy Orton doing the RKO.
I feel like people have kicked out the Stunner.
The Rock.
Yeah.
That's it.
Triple H didn't kick out of it?
Oh, well, Triple H books himself to do whatever he wants. Triple H is a walking fantasy booker. Give me a break.
As of late, I can't remember anybody kicking out of the RKO.
Like, historically speaking. The Undertaker had to have kicked out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Undertaker ever kicked out of a Stunner.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. No, he's the dead man.
To be determined.
To be determined.
I'm just saying, in terms of the versatility of that move,
yeah,
RKO is the best finisher.
This is what I like.
Because you can do a lot going into it, reversing it, reversing moves into it.
J.S. Wooten, you got to let go of this. This is why when I look like looking at the Patreon chat right now during the live stream.
Oh, Diamond Cutter's not.
He says the Diamond Cutter's been an RKO. You got to go back and watch the actual Diamond Cutter.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look like an RKO, and I think everybody thinks it does.
No, DDP would like run in place a couple steps before doing it.
Hold on a second. He would sort of run in place, but also then walk towards the person like this.
Yeah.
And then, like, hit it. He never really hit it out of nowhere. Sometimes he would.
There were some creative
uses of
it.
But
nothing
it was
like,
few and far between.
Nothing like what Randy does with the RKO.
Yeah.
And I was a huge DDP mark back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Diamond Cutter. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
RKO is the evolution of that, though.
No, I get that. I'm just saying that the stunner. Like, you saw McMahon after he got hit with a stunner.
Yeah.
He went into, that messed up his brain. He had a stroke. You know what I mean? Like, it was all messed up. Stunner.
I'm not talking about the pop the move got. I'm not talking about how strongly booked it was. I'm talking about strictly the versatility of the move.
Versatility? That's like a small chunk of the overall pie of the power of the move.
But not in terms of experiencing it in terms of a wrestling match.
Yeah.
I mean, how many ways are there to set up a Stone Cold Stunner? One. He has to kick him in the belly.
The only one you need.
And how many reversal options are there as compared to the RKO? There's tons. It can come out of nowhere.
That's a small.
But that little small sliver is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not enough to make it the best move.
I didn't say it was. I said it was the best move in terms of the versatility. Oh, okay. I had to correct myself.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the correction. Sorry. Anyways, Nakamura went over with a Kinshasa. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, it was great to have Corey Graves back.
It was fantastic to have Corey Graves back. Did you see the passion and the handshake he gave Tom Phillips when they welcomed him to the thing?
Yeah.
And even Byron Saxon was like, you could tell he was super hyped that Corey was there.
Yeah.
Because they're like probably buddies and Corey Graves isn't saddling up to anybody in the shower with a friggin' cowboy hat on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was great.
I wonder if there's a giant weight lifted off of.
It could be.
Production, or maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Isn't that weird, though? Like, JBL, like, creep bully guy, and he's going off to do charity work. Plus, he doesn't want to, like, show up on Sundays instead of Tuesdays.
Have you watched 205 Live yet?
No.
I want to see how Nigel does.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm excited about that,
yeah, me
man.
Too.
I freaking love Nigel.
Yeah, he's great.
There's a lot of great good stuff going on with commentary these days.
So after Nakamura picked up the win and secured himself a title shot, we go backstage. Kevin Owens is approached by Daniel Bryan. And Kevin Owens again says, I'm going to wreak havoc on this show. It's going to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel Bryan says, well, there's someone that's going to be on SmackDown next week to talk to you about it, Mr. McMahon.
Oh,
so Vince is making a rare appearance on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. I wonder do we know when the last time he showed up on SmackDown was?
No. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not including clip shows.
Yeah, an actual appearance.
Yeah, an actual appearance. So that's awesome. It's going to be a big... That's going to be a huge episode next week. They're making a big deal, but Sin City.
Yeah, it's going to be Sin City Street nearly Fight. Pay-per-view quality of a card. I think that's the idea since there's no SmackDown pay-per-view this month.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Let's take some questions, Steve.
Oh, we're going to take some questions now.
Yes.
Ooh.
The... Four King champion Matthew Barisic with a recent addition to the main roster. Who are the new SmackDown six?
Oh, we've gotten this question before. We've got AJ Styles, Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes.
Corbin. Baron Corbin's got to be on there. It's hard to put Sammy on there, isn't it?
I know, right?
Yeah, you can't put Sammy on there. Baron Corbin.
In theory, it will be Bobby Roode.
You can't put him on there yet, though.
No, I know.
It's such a bummer. I mean, Jinder and Randy?
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at?
Right now.
Yeah.
Ask again in 2 months, and it'll probably be different.
Yeah.
Probably be different.
Probably.
KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed. Hey, friendos. This got lost in the live chat, but my idea, Rusev to Lucha Underground as El Machka, just throw a mask on him and go. Broken Spanish with the accent. Donde está el baño?
This is one thing that I completely and totally agree with. I think Rusev and Lana would be amazing for Lucha Underground.
Yeah, they'd be really good.
Because their personalities are primarily what shine through with them.
Yes.
And I think always been my thing about New Japan. I don't see that as being their strength in New Japan. Or that being a possible strength in New Japan.
Nick Fahler here in chat says last time Vince showed up was 2013 before SummerSlam.
Oh, wow. 2013 before SummerSlam.
So 4 years.
That's odd. I would have thought there was still a clip show back then.
Or the B show. Yeah.
Or the distinct B show.
Yeah. Who knows? Nemo, would you rather have pay-per-view quality matches on free TV or shorter matches with more wrestlers?
Pay-per-view quality matches on free TV. Absolutely. Yes. How many times have you guys heard us say, they really let this match breathe?
I know.
Expert analysis.
On Raw this past Monday, I was really excited because the first hour, the two of the three matches, they let them rest for a while.
I know. I love that stuff. And, it makes
everybody delivered.
If you can make your Raw or SmackDown feel like a pay-per-view, then do it.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
By all means.
Steve Club Mark Robert Chacon, the Draft Master. Do you guys see Baron Corbin ever coming back up after this deep push? Yeah, he'll be fine. Do you think he'll ever make it a WWE title scene? Yeah, he'll be fine.
Wait, who?
Baron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We both felt like he needed more time anyways. It doesn't feel right at this point. But I mean, if they keep on booking him like they booked him last night, yeah, he'll be good.
CM Punk finds it insulting.
I find it insulting.
What are your power rankings for the top 10 going in Raw in jokes of the past year?
Man, there's so many that we've literally forgotten about at this point. Like, other people know better than we do, bro.
I find it funny.
I find it funny.
That's a good one. Anything Vince Fashion Police is good.
On The Daily Show, it's your Okada dollars.
Yeah.
All the Vince stuff. Hey. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Lately, at least.
You're not me.
You're not me. Hey, man. Because I like that one because so many of your impressions I can't do. I can't join in on. But that I can do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I know. It's great.
You just have to talk.
You have to talk slow. It's kind of like a mix between Keanu Reeves.
And George McFly.
And George McFly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's like a more confident George McFly.
Yeah.
You're not me. Baron.
Corbin,
you're not me. But I'm interested to see what Chad has to say because you guys, on the spot, it's kind of hard. We run through these in jokes so often.
I know.
Dragon again. Yeah. That's a good one. To re-dragon again.
That's one of my pickups the last
block party. To re-dragon. You idiots. Oh, man. All right. We forgot to mention Tranquilo Vega, our good friendo.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That going that in Raw awesome. Sign was $1 million.
It was. That was great. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
Someone else in the crowd facing the hard cam had a going in Raw sign, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, so thank you, everybody. Someone posted on Twitter that Sioux Falls was friendo territory, and it sure seemed that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. It was great. It's so surreal to see that.
I know. Have you ever been to Sioux Falls?
Bullet Club.
You've probably never been to Sioux Falls.
No, I haven't.
It's a lovely city.
They talk about Sioux Falls and Deadwood, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Back then, Yankton was the capital.
Yankton.
That's South Dakota territory.
Yankton. I can't say it because we get demonetized. Otter Out of Water says baked potato. Apparently, that's actually Norm MacDonald doing David Letterman, not David Letterman.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And that was with him. It was, you want some gum?
That guy with rumors of John Cena and talks to play Shazam recast a new Justice League universe, heroes and villains using only WWE superstars. So we have Cena as Shazam.
Okay.
So he can't be Batman.
Wait, we have to do what now?
Recast Justice League Universe heroes and villains using only WWE superstars. Oh,
John Cena's in rumors for talk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, The Rock is supposed to be playing. Whoa, are you serious?
How awesome would that be?
There is no way that could be possible.
But how incredible is the possibility of that happening?
I got goosebumps right now. Oh my gosh. Whoa!
Seth Rollins is Batman.
Oh, man.
Or Bobby Roode is Batman.
Who would be the Joker? Would it be you know who I'd love to see as a Joker? And that isn't Dean Ambrose. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm.
With that hair of his. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the way he always moves his face.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Dean could be the Riddler.
Dean could be the Riddler. Yeah, that'd be good.
Finn Balor could be Two-Face.
Oh, I like that. That's a really good one. I like that. That's really good.
Who would be Lex Luthor?
Lex Luthor would be, you know what?
Luke Gallows. No, Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson.
Carl Lex Luthor.
No, man, they've got to be thugs of some sort. They have to be henchmen, Joker's henchmen or something.
What about
Hey, Finn Balor's a Joker would be good.
Yeah. What about Big Show as Lex Luthor?
Oh, for some reason this is striking me. What about Mike Kanellis as Lex Luthor?
Okay.
I like Mike Kanellis as that.
Okay.
What about Bobby Roode? Bobby Roode as Lex Luthor would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good. Oh, man.
So that'd be Seth as Batman.
Do we know who Superman is?
No. Can't be Cena because he's Shazam already.
He's Shazam already. Superman. Oh, man. Well, okay. Bobby would be kind of obvious as Superman. I think Bobby would be good Superman. Gender as Superman.
That would be fantastic.
What about Gender as Lex Luthor?
Yeah, that'd be good too.
There you go. That'd be good. Holy crap, the possibilities
are
endless.
What about the Flash?
The Flash. I want to say Cedric Alexander.
You know who'd be a good Luthor?
Who?
Neville.
Oh, that's too good. Oh, I love it. That's good. Oh, Becky, I'm going to chat here. Becky Lynch is Poison Ivy.
Oh, that's good.
Roman is Aquaman. That's obvious. Like they look exactly the same.
They do.
That's good. Triple H is Zod. Oh man, that's good.
That is good.
All right.
That's all good. Right. Next question.
Next question. Let's see here. This is a good question. I like this. Jason the Cabbie, our old friendo. He says, after tonight, I'm firmly convinced that we are now in the era of the scorching burn shoot promo, sort of like a worked shoot promo.
Yeah.
And done better than anything Russo ever did on WCW. That was the knock on the Russo WCW work shoot, is that they always expected people to know, like, way too much insider stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, like, everybody heard about Shane McMahon's helicopter crash, you know,
yeah,
you don't
yeah,
need...
Yeah.
Anyways, he says,
sheets to find out about that stuff.
Yeah, he says, knowing that these promos are 99% scripted and performers mostly get along these days, unless you're Enzo or Sin Cara, how much do you think performers clear with one another so they don't go too far over the line?
Well, if they're scripted and they want to clear anything.
I would think they would clear it completely. I would think that the writers would, I would think that they would come up with these things and run them past the performers
and say,
hey, is everybody cool with
this? I would think that everybody realizes that they're performers doing a performance in the ring, you know, when they're doing their promos.
Yeah.
And they're playing characters and not take it personally.
Right, exactly, yeah, you would think.
Nicholas Grothkirth, do you think there is a non-kayfabe reason Vince is returning to TV? Pop ratings.
Yeah, pop ratings.
Pop ratings.
Sure, absolutely. Let's see here. Jack Dolan, this is a good question. If you're a person who boos Roman because of booking, should you also be booing Vince next week? If Vince was in the same ring, if Vince was sharing the ring the same time he was with Roman Reigns on Raw, then I would think that the boo Roman crowd would probably put two and two together and start booing Vince.
Mm-hmm.
The post-mania crowd booed Vince, I think,
a little
because
bit.
Of Roman.
Yeah, when he mentioned Roman, they were chanting, like, fire him and stuff like
right,
that.
Exactly. But no, I don't think they do.
Same time, though, still Vince.
You should. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's Vince. And he does, you know, I mean, we all watch still.
Yeah.
If we didn't watch, I'd cheer the crap. Hey, Vince, because of you, I have a job doing what I kind of want to do.
Yeah. So. Mayor of Planet Houston, what do you think will be the Hell in a Cell matches at Hell in a Cell?
Well,
we'll get
obviously Shinsuke, Jinder,
Kevin Owens, Shane.
I would think New Day Usos.
Yeah, I think that'll be it.
Yeah. I'm gonna reiterate this one: Marky Mark and the Bullet Bunch. Did you see all the beautiful going in Raw sign at the end of the episode? Free advertising for about 20-30 seconds.
Yeah, it was great.
Tranquilo Vega says, "Yeah, that was my sign, baby." And now it's
thank you very much.
Now the one that showed up, that same sign showed up on 205 Live next to TJ Perkins.
That's awesome.
That's our Twitter banner right now. So big ups to Tranquilo Vega.
That's great.
Here's a question from him. He says, "Whenever you guys have the time, can you send me that Sting card you two signed for me a while back? I've got a package coming your way as well, along with a sign from last night."
Cool.
Absolutely,
yes.
Definitely, most definitely.
Yes.
I don't remember signing a Sting card, but we'll totally do that.
I remember signing it.
You remember doing that?
Yeah, we all did
right.
That.
Sometimes with me, man.
BP Sculpin Deathlock, which wrestlers would have been more successful in different eras? He could see Tajiri being much more over now, while someone like Bray could have been really awesome, more useful during the Attitude Era.
Oh, I think Bray would have been great whenever.
I think Bray
would, like, it's like if you think about the stuff that Jake the Snake was doing back in the day, Bray would have fit in perfectly there.
Bray would have been great during the Ruthless Aggression.
People would have been really confused by Bray during the collar and elbow era.
Yeah, I know.
During the golden era.
I know.
Oh, that'd be kind of funny.
Dick Knuckle.
Dick Knuckle.
Power rank the top five superstars you would want with you on Family Feud. Great question.
Xavier Woods.
Yes.
Number one. Well, I mean, Lex Luger did graduate with like a 3.4.
That's what I kept saying. Yeah,
so he's a college graduate.
Bobby Roode seems like a smart guy.
But do we know that?
No, but he seems like a smart guy.
I think there's other people who are maybe more savvy.
Oh, John Cena. He seems like a smart guy.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. John Cena.
So Xavier Woods, John Cena.
Yeah.
Who would you say?
Lex Luger.
Would that be current wrestlers?
You really want it to be.
No, it doesn't have to be.
I'm going to say, I'll say Seth Rollins.
Chris Nowinski, Harvard graduate.
Well, he's not a current wrestler.
Lex Luger.
Fine. You get Nowinski, I get Luger.
Okay.
How about that? That's our five.
Okay. One more question. We'll do trivia.
One more, then trivia. Steven Weber, he says, not really a SmackDown question, but I've tried to ask this before. Is the day of the big man, like Vader, Earthquake, Yokozuna. Tripping. Well, he has a Yokosuka here, so I was like, wait, what is it? And Bam Bam Bigelow, is that era gone? He says, I know there's Kevin Owens. Who is your favorite big man? I think if you look at the Universal title scene right now,
yeah,
it is firmly big man.
Yeah.
You know, you
have Braun, you have Samoa Joe.
Look at that SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Vince still loves those big men.
They just signed Donovan Dijak.
That's right.
Because he's huge. 6'5" or something like
big
that.
Big dude.
Yeah.
I think we've still got a good, I just think they're a bit more athletic now. Mm-hmm. Braun can do some crazy stuff. Although he tweeted out a thanks to Big Show and he said, guys like us are quickly fading away. So maybe, you know, I can kind of see that too. I mean, they're bringing in guys, you know, for every one Braun Strowman, there's what, 4 Redragon guys.
Yeah.
There's Adam Cole and the
Redragon. Well, there's just more people, you know, around between 6 feet tall and 5'10" than there are people 6'8" plus.
Yeah, that's true. And on, you know, they're widening their net in terms of what people can do in the ring.
Yes.
Versus, you know, just, oh, is this a big dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think they love big men.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll do one more. Prodigal Son TGX, seeing as we're entering injury season 2017, been a lot of injuries, TGX had a thought. Would an off-season work where the WWE looks at what is the lowest drawing month for live events and cancel all live events for that month and have the wrestlers only work TV shows for that month and have it as an off-season?
I would. The thing is, there's so many people on their roster that they wouldn't have to do that to have an off-season. They can. And here's the thing. I would not want it to be an off-season. I wanted to be...
Everybody gets like 3 weeks a year off.
I would say even more than that. But like just make it like a staggered...
Yep.
You know, you work 6 weeks, you're off a week. You work 6 weeks, you're off a week. Something like that. I don't know how it works. Anyways.
Because... Do you see the pictures of that house show in, I think, Iowa? Where there's like 1,000 people there? Is a SmackDown house show?
Yeah.
The idea of running SmackDown house shows opposite Raw doesn't seem like a good idea.
You think they're making a profit if they draw 1,000 people?
I don't know. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, me too. 1,000, yeah, probably not. All right, here we go.
What are you starting with? Attitude.
Attitude era.
Attitude era.
Who faced The Rock in a WrestleMania X8 rematch at No Way Out 2003?
That would be Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Big events. What rap star accompanied the team of The Godfather and D'Lo Brown to the ring at WrestleMania 2000? I don't remember this, by the way. I was there, and I don't remember this.
I'm just going to say, oh, man. Godfather and D'Lo. I'll go with my gut. I'll say Snoop.
Ice-T.
Damn it. I was going to say that because he's like, didn't he say he's like an actual pimp or something? I forget. Dang it. I was going to say that. Championships. What superstar did China defeat in a good housekeeping match at No Mercy 99 to win the IC title?
Jeff Jarrett.
Double J, baby.
Championships. And what type of match did JBL defeat Eddie Guerrero for the WWE Championship at Great American Bash 2004? Need a match stipulation.
Oh, man. Uh, It was a strap match, wasn't it?
It was a Texas bull rope match.
Nah, again, I was going to say that. It's kind of the same thing. All right, go ahead.
No, it's my turn. I just read
Superstar bio. What team won the right to be managed by Terry Runnels in 1999 when they beat Edge and Christian in the Terry Invitational Tournament? A tag team beat Edge and Christian in 1999 to win Terry Runnels' managerial services.
Was it the Hardys?
Yeah, it was the Hardys. So weird.
Superstar bio.
This might be 6-0.
You'll get this one. Who formed a tag team by the name of Head Cheese with Steve Blackman?
Oh, Al Snow.
Yeah.
Big events. What two superstars faced each other in the once-in-a-lifetime main event of WrestleMania 28?
John Cena and The Rock.
Incorrect. Shazam and Black Adam.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ooh.
Champion.
Oh, no, what are you doing?
Sorry.
Take turns. Big events. After 2 years in Iraq, in what country was a 2005 tribute to the troops special held?
What year?
2005.
After what was the first clause?
After 2 years in Iraq.
Oh, Afghanistan.
Yes.
Okay. Championships. What team won a lumberjack match to unify the World Tag Team Championships and WWE Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania 25?
Ooh.
Lumberjack match.
I remember watching that match, too.
WrestleMania 25.
Booker T and RVD.
Carlito and Primo.
No.
Good guess on Booker T and RVD, though.
What Russian giant teamed with Santino Marella to win the WWE Tag Team Championship in December 2010?
Oh, man. I know that one. Oh, crap.
What was that?
It was me thinking... Vladimir Kozlov.
Good job.
Superstar bio.
Superstar bio.
Who paired with Kofi Kingston to create the high-flying Air Boom tag team?
Evan Bourne.
Very good.
Superstar bio. What former WWE and World Heavyweight Champion was known as the Charismatic Enigma?
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. I won by one.
Wow, that's surprising. Didn't I go down 3-0?
Yeah.
Wow. You had a hard second card.
Debra. That's what I pulled today.
Well done. Good job getting Debra.
That was a thick card.
Nice.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. And
patrons here in chat.
Ooh.
Stick around. Chat trivia.
Ooh.
Is coming next.
Chat trivia. Ooh. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.